I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. Our topic today, hiring is step one, now up the odds of success, the keys to onboarding. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services and will be hosting our program today. We have just a few housekeeping items and we're going to jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement to help keep organizations off the rocks of potential self-destruction. We do this through our in-depth work style assessments and raising the hiring bar. We assist sales and operations in avoiding getting stuck in shallow waters so they have smooth sailing. We also offer a number of workshop topics to associations and trade organizations. And if you'd like more information, please email me as indicated on your screen. Our Keeping on Track open line series is in response to a number of calls we've been getting from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various business issues that most organizations are facing. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion. We'll attempt to respond to as many as possible. Please join us with your thoughts and insights along the way. At the conclusion of the program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guests. You'll also want to have some paper and a pen handy to take notes, since we'll be sharing many ideas you'll want to consider and implement with your team and discuss with your trusted advisors. Our special guest with us today is Larry Cassidy. Larry is a senior Lighthouse consultant and a chair with Vistage International for well over 25 years. That's a long time, Larry.
It is.
He currently works with some 50 executives every month and has facilitated over 1,200 executive group meetings and participated. I'm getting tired looking at this number. It's like 11,000 face-to-face discussions with CEOs about all topics, you can just imagine. Larry prepared his journey in Miami University and in Ohio and Northwestern to get his MBA, was a Marine, an officer in the Marines, with several public companies, including General Mills, Quaker Oats, PepsiCo, private companies, family, foreign-owned firms, well-rounded. In the 80s, Larry was a general manager and CEO of some local companies. He does executive coaching and also serves on numerous advisory boards. I feel very privileged, as always, to have Larry on our program. And I think this is going to help us all in preparing not only for today but in the future. And before I get in our into our program, I want to remind everybody that registration for our next program begins at the conclusion of this program today. And the topic will be, how is your culture eating your strategy? It's going to be a very powerful panel discussion, and you won't want to miss that. This topic came about, Larry and I were talking about it, and it's very expensive, as we all know, to do recruiting, to bring people in. But what are we doing to assure their success once they come on board and also to retain them long term? Because the beginning dictates the end usually. So Larry says, you know, we should really do a program on this to help companies in raising that bar. And Larry does an excellent job of all levels of consulting, and one of his expertise is onboarding for long-term success. So, Larry, I want to welcome you back to Open Line. Thanks for coming today.
Good to be here.
Oh, it is all yours.
Okay. Can you hear me okay, Dana?
Perfect.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Or I guess we have somebody from back on in the East Coast, so good afternoon.
And we have people, a couple from India and Europe.
Welcome all over the
Very
world.
Late for them.
Yeah. We have sun here today, so I'm happy. Let me go to the first slide, if I'm doing this right. There we go. And some of you have printed this out or taken a look at them. My experience watching a lot of companies hire people is that they take a lot of time creating the position. They may know about it in advance, but they take time deciding on what the new slot's going to be or what they want. Or, unfortunately, and I did this some of this when I was running companies years ago, we weighed on underperformance. Net, we finally have to go get somebody. That talent search takes time. You identify, decide, you hire. I don't imagine there's a whole lot of people on the line that really like that long, involved interviewing process. So a lot of time's gone by. We've had opportunity costs. We get a new employee in the door, and typically they kind of get thrown in the deep end of the pool. And I'm not speaking for any of you. Some of you may have processes in place already. I hope you do. But the idea of this chat today is not earth-shaking or groundbreaking, but there's just some basic things that I would encourage you to do. And one of those things right up front when you're going to hire somebody is remind yourself, since almost all of us were new employees at some point in our life, go back and remember what that was like. Think of yourself as walking into a shopping mall. I said a strange shopping mall on the slide, but I will still do it on familiar shopping malls. I'm not quite sure where I am, not quite sure where anything's located, so what is the first thing you look for? You look for the store map or the store menu and the X to tell you where you are. That's kind of what the employee is wondering when he or she walks through the door. And the reality for the company is that regardless of how you got there, somebody wasn't doing the job, or there's a new opportunity, or you're growing, whatever, you are hiring an employee to create a result. I mean, unless you're just collecting employees for the purpose of collecting them, you are hiring them to create a result. The better informed they are, the more welcome that they feel, the better will be the result. We're hiring to get a result, but people show up. And people want to feel welcome. They want to know what's going on, and they want to know what's expected out of them. If you're hiring the right kind of people, they're certainly that way. And so that's kind of what the rest of this is about.
Larry, how do companies typically onboard from what you see?
Well, I think there's a lot of different. I mean, there's a lot of different processes, from using executive recruiters to using LinkedIn to some of the meat markets that shove a bunch of people under your nose until you find one you think you like. And then when the employee comes in, I think it's very variable. I've seen a couple situations, God forbid, where hardly anybody in the company except the person that hired them knows that they're arriving that day. And that person is on a business trip or is in a big meeting. Just stop and think for a minute how you would feel arriving in the lobby. And then there are people that that have processes and that include all or parts of the kinds of things I'm going to mention in a few minutes, which is kind of where I collected a lot of this data. Before this webinar, I asked some of my clients and my members some of the things they did and kind of collected them into a universal look here. Is that a fair answer, Dana?
Yeah, so most don't really pay that much attention to it.
It's a hodgepodge.
Hodgepodge, okay.
Yeah, we're busy. Everybody is busy. Yeah. That's one of the reasons we hire people is we're too darn busy to get the stuff done ourselves. We just can't afford to be too busy to meet them at the door, that's all.
Okay.
So what I would suggest is that you create kind of an onboarding plan, and that sounds like, oh, my gosh, that's what I need is another plan. But I think you do it once, basically. It's kind of an institutional plan. These are the steps we're going to take any new employee through. It will involve different people depending on their level and their department. I think the plan should include interaction with some current key employees. Those are going to be the fellow workers. I am a real believer in a buddy system, and the people that interview and hire the person have a sense of their personality, how they're wired. I'd pick a buddy who's at a comparable level that you think will get along with the person. Just somebody that they can go ask a lot of those little questions that they're going to have. I would send the plan. I guess I have a little typo in here. I would send the plan to the new hire before the start date. Why shouldn't they know what they're going to be doing in the first week? that alone is comforting. If you sent me a plan for the first week or so, I'd think, wow, man, they're getting ready for me. And then I would also, as this process goes on, follow up on who does what for the new hire. That's just kind of the upfront stuff.
That's a good idea. Those are great ideas.
Yeah, well, you're trying to make it successful. You can be altruistic, and you want it to be very successful as the employee. Down underneath, you really also want it to be successful for you, and a successful employee means success for you. I would have the receptionist should know that the person is coming. They should know their name. They should know who they will be asking for or who should be notified. I have one member that from the data during the interviewing process will provide the receptionist with a photograph of the person who's coming in. When they arrive, the supervisor, the person they're going to report to, and the buddy who's been appointed should be notified and should come out and meet the new hire. That's kind of to me, is kind of a pivotal moment. Stop and think of the sense of what happens if a couple people come out with a smile and shake hands and welcome somebody and escort them back. And where they should escort them to is the new hire's office. So you asked me how people onboard folks. I've seen new people hired, and then there's nowhere to put them.
They've not
to figure out where they're going to put them.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, there's kind of like no room at the inn. You know, it's not a good starting signal.
But somebody just asked a question here. When the person arrives the first day, what are your thoughts about having a little present for them, like flowers or cookies or something?
I think something like that would be terrific. I didn't have anybody mention that. Strikes me as a really nice idea. We have a speaker on the circuit. I don't know, Dana, if you know Jack Daly.
Mm-hmm.
Quite good on sales and a number of things. And when they have a new employee come to their company, they do that kind of stuff. They have a buddy system. They have a lunch with the people they're going to be working with. And then he always sends out a bottle of wine and a little cheese basket to the new employee's home, to the employee and spouse or significant other, just welcoming them to the company. Terrific. I mean, not everybody has to go to that extent, but he wants his people to feel really welcomed.
So, Larry, what are the thoughts on different levels? So there's senior executives, there's middle folks, and then there's warehouse folks.
Well, everybody's going to report to somebody, and I think maybe when you get into the higher levels, the buddy system gets modified. But you're still hiring people, Dana. And it is not true that somebody who comes in to a brand new company who knows nobody, that because they have vice president by their title, means they're comfortable when they walk into the lobby. It is a new game. They want to be good. They want to be accepted. They want to be part of it. You know, their reputation's kind of on the line. So they're walking in with a lot of the same concerns. They just may be a little better at masking them, that's all.
Okay, so whether it's someone in the warehouse, janitor, an administrative assistant, there should be something across the board and say welcome with open arms so they feel good.
Yeah,
and positive about
there's no unimportant employees in a company. If somebody's unimportant, don't hire them.
Good point.
First day, some obvious things. The office is fully ready. Computer and phone set up. I mean, who can function anymore without their computer and their phone? So you can dump me in an office, but if everything isn't ready to go, and I don't know how to use it, I'm still kind of adrift. It was actually a handful of companies commented how they would bring their IT person in right away, and the IT person and the person who's going to be their buddy, which is probably in the same department, you know, maybe sitting next to him, kind of go over the equipment and the processes and some. Particularly the things that the employee is going to have to deal with fairly quickly. And I think it's important that a coworker, which I continue to call their buddy, is with them, because the IT person is going to explain a bunch of things to them. And then the coworker is going to tell them what they really do and how they really use the stuff and get it done. And that's the person that they're most likely to go to for, excuse me, continuing Q&A, unless something goes wrong with their equipment. And then I would also be sure I take them on an office tour. I mean, this is the new space in which they live. Where are the restrooms? Where's the, if you have one, where's the lunchroom or the break room? Walk around and introduce them to various people in different departments. I find when companies do that, that almost everybody gets up and shakes hands and welcomes them, has something to say, and you know, it's worth 20 minutes, a half an hour to an hour, depending on the size of the company, to do that. Okay. Meet with the supervisor. I've gone to the next slide called First Day Welcome. And obviously meet with HR. There's details. There's the dreaded forms that have to be filled out, et cetera. And then I would set up a kind of a lunch with whoever you determine the teammates are going to be. And I just think that's a great and probably an obvious step. Probably most of the people that are listening do something like that. And then during the first week, this would all be part of the, you know, of the, this may be beginning to look long and onerous, but the people I know that have these plans, it's usually a page or page and a half kind of plan for the first up to 90 days, which we'll get to here. But you've taken them on a tour, but there are certain departments they're going to have to work with and work with more closely. So I would take the time to give them a little bit more time with people in those departments. Set up a meetings in the conference room, bring a few people in, introduce them, have them tell the new employee what they do, et cetera. Introduce them to key staff members. And then meet with the supervisor. I mean, you want to do the meet and greet stuff, but you also fairly quickly want to get at reviewing the job description. You've talked about that in the hiring process at some level. You know, now it becomes real. I'm sure there'll be people who disagree with me out there, but I'm not a huge, long job description fan. I go to sleep when I read those. I'd like to see people prepare on one page or slightly less. You know, what are the four or five or six or eight absolutely key things that you have to do in this position to be successful? At the end of the day, at the end of the quarter, the end of the year, that's how you're going to judge the person's performance. There's probably 53 things they need to do. But if they get the four or five big things done and do them really well, they're going to have been successful. And they're likely to have gotten a lot of other stuff done. They get some of the other 53 things done and they don't get one or two of the real make or break things done, you're not going to be happy with them. So they better know what those things are. And you'd better tell them if you want to get that out of them. And then I would work with them. I wouldn't be instructive, but I'd chat with them and get their input. I mean, you're hiring them because they have experience. They can bring something to the party. So what do we together believe are really solid 30, 90, and 180-day expectations? Dana, you know I'm in the midst of this with the company right now, and they consider these discussions to be very powerful. Two-way discussions. And, oh, by the way, when the new employee or any current employee nods and shakes your hand and agrees on those expectations, they own at least 50% of them. There's no, well, my boss made me do it. They're part of the deal. So I would take that particular approach with them.
And also that reduces the potential for departments to come marching down to HR on the 91st day. I don't want this person here. Well, why don't you want them here? Well, they're not doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you may still march down there. I mean, setting expectations doesn't mean they get done, but not setting them, the odds are very high they won't get done. Something will get done, but it won't meet your expectations. And then at the 90 or 180-day mark, you'll have that conversation that we've all had at one time or another, which is, well, how do you think you're doing? Oh, I think I'm really doing good. Well, gee, I don't think you're doing so good. Well, we're working off of two different sheets. You know, it's hard enough to get things where you want when you're all on the same page. So I would be sure that we're all on the same page. You and I have talked, Dana, was it Henry Ford said that no man is as ambivalent as one who's working to satisfy somebody else's goals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want these to be the goals of the person as well as the organization. And I don't know how you do that without it being a conversation. So that's the first week. The first 90 days, which will go very fast. This didn't come from my members, but there's some literature that would suggest that, you know, around 6 weeks or so, a new hire begins to feel comfortable. Probably faster than that if you really do some of these things. At 90 days, the team accepts the employee. That's variable. I think if it hasn't happened by 90 days, you probably have a problem. If you've got a really good proactive employee who gets busy and starts doing things, interacts, it should happen a little faster than that. I would give the employee both short and somewhat longer-term tasks. I mean, you interviewed, you had Dana test them, you did all of this stuff, and now you're going to really see what they've got. And how are they getting the stuff done now? How are they beginning to work on and staying on task on longer-term responsibilities? I would review their performance with some frequency, not a formal review, but how you think it's going. If you see something you think needs correcting, I would, in the right way, do it. I mean, I wouldn't be saving things up for 90 or days or 6 months. I'm a believer that if you have something to say to somebody about their performance, which is not positive, and you do that in a review, it should not be a surprise. This is something that should have been talked about as it's happening and hopefully adjusted as it's happening. And I would, it's my style, but I'd have an open door. They're going to have a lot of questions. I think, just knowing my style, I would fairly rapidly start answering their questions with something that sounds like, well, what do you think you ought to do? It's not your job to tell people, you know, everybody that comes through the door what to do. You're hiring them to solve problems. But there are going to be some legitimate questions up front. So we've talked about the first day, the first week, the first 90 days. That takes me through the slides, and I guess we can go back to any of them or just field any questions, Dana, however you want to handle it.
Let's open up the line for some Q&A time with Larry. Let me just turn that on. Okay,
the conference is no longer in lecture mode.
Okay, the line is open. What I would ask everyone to do is put your phones on mute so we're not getting background noise. And any questions for Larry? Then unmute your phone if you want to talk to Larry. Very important to unmute. Or you can type in the question. Larry, and this has a lot to do with setting the pacing for culture, too, for greeting people and welcoming them in. Isn't it a statement as to what the company culture is like?
Yeah, the reality that I've observed in a quarter of a century of working with all these companies, you know, literally every day, is the person running the company is not responsible for all of the culture, but they basically, that's where the culture starts. And therefore, I have a lot of people I work with who take the time, even though they're running the company, certainly not in the huge companies, but in the, you know, the smaller companies, to meet and greet every single person that gets hired. They're not reporting to them, and they're not doing the hiring. The supervisor's doing the hiring, but they take the time. And I have members, you know, happen to know one of them, and have done work with one of them, who takes the time to explain to the employee what is important to me as the owner of this company. Here's how I am wired. And therefore, to be successful here, you need to pay attention to this. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's me. This is what is important to me. I want people here on time. I want whatever it is. Because they're not going to be successful if over time they violate that. And that is part of the culture. So tell people who you are and tell people what's important in this company. And that gives them a chance to be successful against that culture.
Let's say the CEO comes out or senior person comes out and greets whoever it is. So they could meld that into the, you know, want to welcome you to XYZ company. Joe's going to do a great job of walking you through some of our most important key things that we're looking for,
sure,
like being on time, that kind of thing. So it's not on the senior exec to deliver that message, but more to set the stage.
Yeah, just come out. I was told you're joining us. This is your first day. Just want to welcome you. And then exactly what you said. Yeah, no, I think it's important that the people are going to be working with him and to whom the new employee reports actually do the integration.
Okay. That's really great. So any questions? Sometimes folks are shy and just want to talk offline, but any particular questions for Larry while we have him here?
I have a question for Larry.
Sure.
Larry, how important is it to collect data on building your onboarding process? Like, I know firms like Google, they keep data on everything. And I was reading an article that they collect data on how effective their onboarding process is. Like, if someone wanted to go about collecting data, you know, to help inform improving their onboarding process, you know, one, is that useful or important to do for a non-Google firm? And if someone did want to do that, how would they go about establishing, like, the important metrics and things to collect?
I don't know that I'm an expert in constructing the questionnaire, but that's a great question, and I would start out by deciding right up front that Google's a pretty smart organization. So if they're doing it, I might take a look at how I might do it. And when you're asking the question, I was thinking, well, I'm aware of a lot of companies that do exit interviews. I don't know if you do exit interviews, but when somebody leaves, they'll have some, not the supervisor, but somebody else talk to them, maybe HR or somebody, to collect data about, you know, why is this person leaving? And they particularly want to know if it's somebody you don't want to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't we, if we decide that the onboarding process is important and we want to get people off to a good start, I think that's a great question and a great idea to have a process maybe at the, I don't know, I have to think about it, whether you do it at 90 days, maybe you do it at 90 days and again at 6 months, and it's short and sweet, and you have maybe four or five questions that get at, did they feel that the onboarding process was helpful, and what was the most helpful part of it, and what would they improve if they were in charge of it? And one person's data is not going to maybe be that instructive, but once you get 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 people, you may well see a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we spend way too much time on thus and thus and thus, but boy, I sure would have liked to have yada, yada, yada. And that's what you want to find, and you tune up the process. And I go back to one of the first things I said, if you put together this kind of structural plan, this skeleton plan, then you can adapt it for any department or anybody coming in, and then you can include in that plan some follow-up of the employee. How did we do? And you ask them fairly quickly during the process while it's fresh in their minds. That's a great question. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions for Larry? Thoughts or feedback, something that your companies are doing that you really think is really wonderful and you'd like to share, or something you'd like to improve?
I'd like to share what another company's doing, actually. Larry?
Yeah.
It's very tech-heavy because they always collect data. I know Twitter has an initiative. They call it Yes to Death. Really formalized their onboarding process. And the concept is from the moment an engineer or marketing type says yes to the time they get to their desk, they said there's like 50 different bombardments that they need to deal with, from getting their email address, it's a small thing, but having like a company T-shirt is really important, making sure the size is right. So I guess having like a label for the onboarding process has proven effective for a lot of other people. Like to have everyone in the company know that someone's going is a yes-to-desk person. might be useful.
Yeah, or you're suggesting maybe have a two or three or four word slogan or title for the process we use
mm-hmm.
that's kind of zippy and attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's another good idea. I mean, what's happening between you and I here is what happened when I start talking to my members about this is everybody's got these suggestions. You know, and I kind of wonder if some of them don't come out of their own experiences when they were onboarded. But you've mentioned a couple of organizations that are highly regarded. You know, Zappos, there's a number of them out there. And we probably all read at least some of the stuff written about why are they the great workplaces, the places we want to be. You know, I think that if you talk to the employees, you listen to the quotes, read the quotes I've read, listen to the interviews that I've listened to from various people, they feel like they are wanted there. They feel like they are important, and they're given, you know, they're given good work to do. It's demanding. They feel like they're growing. It gives them opportunity, but they feel important. And I think, although it wasn't on the slide necessarily, if you take one thing out of any of these kinds of discussions, it's everybody wants to feel important. When they get in the car and drive home at night after a hard day's work, they want to feel like they were important. They don't want to feel like they were unimportant. And all we really talked about today is making people feel important and making them feel important around what you really want them to do so that you begin to get the result that you want. If you get the result you want, you're going to be patting them on the back, and they're going to feel more important.
It also creates positive word of mouth, so that is an ROI on that for recruitment purposes, which is huge. So a nice goodie bag, anything like you just mentioned, a T-shirt, anything, sanitation gel, whatever is a little bag, a welcoming gift, certainly a nice entree.
Yeah, I've had a few companies I work with in the last couple of years end up getting on lists of the best places in Orange County to work, that kind of thing. I don't think there's any public pat on the back that my clients or my members get that seems to mean more to them than their employees saying it's one of the best places to work. And I mean, just think about your career, your own experience. Where have you done your best work? You've done your best work typically when you're enjoying it and you want to be there and you want to be doing it. I mean, Go all the way back to school. Where do you do your best coursework? And it wasn't the courses that you didn't like or the teachers you didn't like. So I don't think I've broken any new ground today. There's probably, if you go back and look at the slides, that nothing that you might not have thought of yourself, but this is a way to collect it all.
Any other thoughts or questions for Larry? You got another minute here. Larry, why don't you take us to the last slide? February, we're going to be, February 21st, we're going to have a panel discussion on how is your culture eating your strategy. And it's going to be really, really quite powerful. So sign up today, invite friends, people in your associations, fellow executives to join on in. Larry, and I want to thank you for your time today and for all the valuable ideas that were shared. If you want to talk to Larry directly, his contact information is on the screen. If you want to talk about specifics about your industry, your team, or just have some one-to-one time, Larry is available to share ideas. The information shared today is a property of Lighthouse Consulting Services, LLC, located in Santa Monica, California. Our mission statement, to bring effective insight to your organization. If you'd like more information on our services, please write me at dana@lighthouseconsulting.com. If you have other topics you'd like us to address, just let us know. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you join us for our next Keeping on Track Open Line program. Have a wonderful day, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Larry. That was great. And thanks, everybody.
Still on?